This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, this is Miriam Margulies, and you are listening to Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. The team today is, as usual, Chris,
Gordon
and Phil.
Yes, we're back again. Didn't that week go quick?
Don't remind us, dear, please. Dear.
Well, nearly half of the first month of the year is gone.
Yeah, and I always think that by the time January finishes, that's the end of the year because the schools start and everything seems to go twice as fast when the schools are back in because you've got 9-week blocks of terms or something or other, and it just seems to fly like crazy.
One thing that goes when school goes back is seats on the train. Standing room only.
Oh, that's right, and backpacks to knock you over.
Oh, yes. But they.
We're not grumpy old men, really.
No, they have to be able to get to school, you know, and some of them travel quite distances to go to the elite schools that they are signed up for.
And so many of the little school boys are bigger than me. And certainly most of them are taller than me.
Yeah, well, most of them are bigger than me too. But that doesn't matter, I don't care.
Welcome to Joy's history program.
Is that history?
Yeah, and well, it is. It's telling you that you're shrinking as you get older.
As you get older, yes, I'm sure I am.
And I'm one of the grumpies, yes. Yeah, I will submit to that label.
But do you grump at the television? When something happens on the television, you live alone and so do I, but so we would scream like crazy at the telly.
You've got to be careful these days because smart TVs have got microphones.
Have they?
And they may just talk back to you.
Oh, that'll be a good idea. Ooh. I wouldn't care. Especially
I hope they haven't got little cameras built in as well.
They do.
Oh, no. I mean, I hate to think what they might see in my lounge room. However, we just had a greeting there from Miriam Margulies.
Yes, she's here in Australia.
She's an Australian. She's married to an Australian lass. And they live in...
Up in Bowral, Road, the Bowral
right.
area in
Southern
the Southern Highlands area. Yeah,
but she's doing some shows here in Melbourne.
That's right, Lady in the Van, which I already have tickets for, and I'm looking forward to that. But she's also doing a conversation, apparently, which is where she's going to be sitting and talking about how she does her characters and all the rest of it, apparently, from what I could see in the paper. And I have seen her do that before, and it's a very, very interesting.
She is a very interesting woman.
We've met her here. She's been in here, Joy.
Oh, of course, and that's how we got that idea.
Yeah, but I've had a chat with her. And, yeah,
she disarms you. She came in here one time into the studio, and just sat down. And she said, "I'm going to fart."
Oh, that's one of her favourite words, and she does it all the time.
And she says it. Yeah, but it really. We were thinking that he was this straight-laced person.
Oh, no.
No way.
She's very, very straight. She's a very straight lady. She tells you what she thinks and no mucking around. She's straight out, bang.
And she's also Jewish.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I think she's crossed paths with a few of the conservatives.
Oh, boy, does she. She
oh, yes.
She did a series when she was driving around America and she got into a few arguments there for a little while about this, that and the other. And... yeah, so it was a bit different, and she was a couple of times she thought she said, "Oh, I better shut up while I'm here."
I'd like to say thank you to Thomas from Maribyrnong for your email. Thomas sent it to beenthere@joy.org.au, and we're glad that you're enjoying the show as a podcast, as a download. And Thomas is listening whilst he's exercising at the gym. Well done, Thomas.
Can I get back to Miriam Margulies and her fart, which I think is very clever? But there was a health lady on the radio the other day, and she was saying that we should fart at least 20 times a day. It proves that you've got a very healthy bowel.
Well, go somewhere else and do it.
Well, I'm not going to do it here.
I was taught manners.
Yes.
And one of the manners was you just don't let it go.
Oh, what?
But ladies can fluff.
How can they?
They can sort of ease it out and, oh, that wasn't me.
There is an inscription on a tombstone in England, apparently. It says, wherever you be, let your wind go free, for a pinch of a fart was the end of me. You see, so it could be something in that. I'm not sure. But that is an inscription on a gravestone in England.
Well, I'll try and remember that, but I'll also try and remember to do it in private.
Okay.
But there is a public event happening next Sunday, the 20th of January.
Yes.
It's Carnival Day.
It's all about us.
It's all about us at Alexandra Gardens, mm-hmm. and it's part of the Midsummer 3-week festival.
That's right. There's lots of things on in Midsummer, lots of great shows on stage and all the rest of it, and gatherings and all sorts of things happen in our community, for our community and our allies.
Exactly.
We can redo Christmas.
Can we?
'Tis the season to be festive.
Oh, yes, that's fair enough. Yeah.
It's a real picnic zone, isn't it?
And one thing about it too...
Community stalls are there.
But Joy is going to be broadcasting.
We are.
Live down there,
Some of our prime breakfast and drive shows will actually be there in person.
Speaking in person, so you can go and see what a radio station looks like, sort of.
You can see the face behind the voice.
Yes, that's about right.
Oh dear, that could be a bit freaky.
Yeah.
We won't be on air.
We won't be on air, no, that's fair enough. But it's something to look forward to. I always rather enjoy Midsummer, the whole thing with the carnival, then we finish up with Pride March and those sort of things. It just brings the community together, which is really lovely.
But Pride March is a little later, and we'll talk about that a little later as well.
Yep.
So this Sunday, Alexander Gardens, 11 o'clock onwards until sunset, it's going to be a happening.
Yes.
And it's always a huge crowd.
Well, there's usually about 100,000 people there, the police estimate, you know, and it's looking at the long-range weather forecast, it is supposed to be going to be a nice day. But we will be able to have a quicker check on that as the closer we get.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
But to know it'll be kind to us.
Yeah.
Fred Vile isn't invited, so there'll be no rain.
Yeah, well, he won't be able to pray for rain, will he? It won't happen.
We do need a bit of rain, though, up in the headwaters of the Darling River.
Yes.
Because there was the reports last weekend of all those fish dying in the creeks or the rivers, running out of water.
Yeah, only because the water has been taken further upstream for cotton farms and rice farms or something around.
Cotton picking farmers.
Yes, and they've stolen it out of the river.
And the poor 100-year-old fish
are just dying, you know.
Oh, my goodness, but an ecological
disaster. It was pretty well proven on an ABC show about the Murray-Darling Basin that people were pinching the water out of the river and nothing was done about it. Even though it was there in black and white, or colour, actually, the government took no notice of it. They said, oh, no, it's not happening. But it was happening, yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
So the blue-green algae took over.
Yeah.
Stole all the oxygen from the water, leaving the fish with nothing to breathe.
And those fish that have died, they're still in the water. They're going to rot, and that process will
further take
the oxygen out.
But there are so many other little towns down the river that we rely on that water system to water their own plants and stuff that they need for homegrown food and stuff.
Yeah. You know? 1st of January 1908, the Australian Bureau of Meteorology is founded.
The BOM.
The BOM, indeed, the BOM.
The BOM, yeah. And they have become so accurate these days for 2 or 3 day forecasts ahead.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Once upon a time, you would sort of say, what are the Bureau's forecasts for today? And you'd go almost exactly opposite what they said. But now with all the technology and everything.
People still complain, however, you didn't get it right. You said it was going to rain. It didn't rain on my house.
Yeah, well.
Well, Melbourne's made of microclimates. We have rain zones and dry zones.
That's right. You have the rain band goes right around from about Moorabbin right around through to Forest Hills, where that's where the market gardens used to be, in a rainbow.
And that's because the hills are starting about that point, and that's where the moist air rises, cools and condenses.
It's the rainfall. Yeah.
It does.
Yep.
And of course, we do know from records now being kept from over 100 years that the climate is changing and the weather is getting hotter.
Didn't the report just come out that 2018 was the hottest, one of the hottest years ever or something or other?
But the government said there's no such thing as global warming, climate change.
The government or the politicians?
Oh, well, the scientists aren't saying that.
No,
they're just Just the guys taking all our money.
Look what's happening overseas in Austria with the record snowfalls. They've never had snow like it.
That's right.
And people are dying and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we know it's weird happening all around the world.
That's right.
And we've got to get used to it by the look of things.
No, we've got to stop it.
I don't know that we can.
Let's have a song.
Capital cities, they're safe and sound. I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. You could be my luck. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound. We're safe and sound. You're with Chris Gordon and Phil, been there, done that. Joy 94.9, Joy's history program. We better do a little bit of history about gay things, surely, at this particular point of time.
We have been featured in history for many, many centuries, actually.
Oh, yes, we have.
There's been lots of gay people, gay kings, gay queens, gay everybody.
Someone who's having a birthday around about this time, but he's already departed this life, well, on the 8th of January 1941, was born Graham Chapman. He was Brian in the Monty Python show Life of Brian that was on SBS last weekend.
That's right.
Again. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's they're very naughty people, as Brian was.
But it was interesting on the weekend that I saw another one of their Python things. It was all about each individual and how they came to become Pythons.
Yeah.
And it was very, very interesting. It was quite amazing the way
now,
that they...
they all started out as being part of a university review.
Some went to Cambridge and were in the footlights, and some went to Oxford. John Cleese went to Oxford, and actually his name should be John Cheese.
Oh.
His father's name was Cheese. There'd been Cheeses forever, and his father decided he didn't like the name Cheese, so he put an L instead of an H in and called it Cleese.
That's the only bit of that show I saw. Now I've seen it twice.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was interesting. But Brian Chapman's partner, because Brian was gay.
Graham,
I beg your pardon. He was gay, a gay man. And they had his partner on as well, and speaking on the program as well. Yeah.
And this is because Graham couldn't be there himself.
But he passed away.
He passed on the 4th of the 10th in 1989.
That's right.
Of a weird... he had cancer of the throat.
Tonsils.
Of the tonsils, and then it spread backwards into his spine.
Would have been a horrible death.
It would have been
very painful and horrible. David Frost, who did the Frost Report and all those big shows that were on British television, he got Eric Idle to come and work, and it was amazing how their paths seemed to cross all the time.
We're talking about the growth, the development of television as a medium, and prior to that, there'd only been stage shows and footlights. And this is the sort of thing that these new actors, John Cleese and Graham Chapman, were able to reinvent the stories and present them in a TV format.
But the funny part about it was that they were mostly writers. But they used to write for themselves to do their own little stories. And it was quite amazing how they basically, the lot of them actually wrote most of the stuff for the David Frost Report, and that was all of their stuff was done on David Frost, and then eventually Gilliam came in, who was a cartoonist, and that's where the whole thing changed for the Pythons, because they could now put all that
they were so
crazy
irreverent.
Cartoons in. Yeah.
They were, nothing was sacred.
No.
I know that, although they did say in one of their films, every sperm is sacred.
There's one of their lovely songs out of the movie that was on
the week before.
The Meaning of Life. Yes, and as they're singing that, there's all the children. There's thousands of children in the home.
It was a good Catholic family, obviously.
It was. That was one of the lines. But the funny part about it was that they also wrote for the Two Ronnies.
All right.
They were writing the Two Ronnies program. So they were writing all these comedy shows. Graham Chapman and Eric Idle were the two main sort of people that wrote all
and
this.
And it was a real era of British comedy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whilst certainly we got American comedy here on TV, there was still a lot of radio comedy coming out of UK. The Goon Show and those sort of stupid shows, and they were satirical as well. And I don't know that that was the brand of comedy that the Americans were doing. They were more slapstick.
According to the program, they said that it was the Goons that really set the Pythons on their way.
Well, they would have opened doors that people didn't know existed.
That's right. That's
because that was just...
That's what they were saying.
Grown men being stupid.
Yes.
And it was hilarious.
Yes, that's right.
It let people be silly.
I was just sitting there rocking with laughter because of what they were doing on these radio shows or the TV shows that I could remember. And they were absolutely hysterical. And you apparently can see a lot of them on YouTube. So if anybody's listening and they've never seen any of these shows, go onto YouTube and just have a look. You will be laughing until the cows come home.
But to be fair, a lot of the Monty Python stuff either doesn't hold up very well or isn't as funny as they thought it might have been at the time. You've got the classic sketches like the Silly Walk
and
the Dead Parrot and the Department of Arguments, where he walks in and says, "I've come here for an argument." Says, "No, you haven't." Well, it's just his agreement. No, it isn't.
That's right.
See, those things, that's clever wordsmith.
They were great writers, actually, yeah. Because the way they wrote the stuff, yeah.
And they used the language.
Oh, yes.
Their vocabulary was more than the standard 2,000 words.
They were all university educated. Graham Chapman was actually a doctor. He went on and did medicine. He was a medical man, but he didn't go the final step and become a registered doctor.
Oh, wow.
You see, so this is the intelligence. And John Cleese was trained as a lawyer, but didn't want to go on ahead with it.
To quote Dolly Parton, you've got to spend a lot of money to look this cheap. So in their words, you can't be silly to be silly. You've got to be really clever.
That's right, yeah.
But see, they, I'm sure, would have had some input into the two Ronnie sketch about the four candles.
The one I did see was the one that they showed it on the quick spot of it, was the one-legged man that wanted to be Tarzan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that is hysterical. That is hysterical.
But once again, you've got this gay man with this group of straight guys.
Yeah, and they did.
And they all work together famously.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
And... I suppose if you find your safe space...
But he was completely out, and he did a lot of stuff for gay pride and all the rest of it, yeah.
If you look back at a few of those clips, they weren't averse to dressing up as women.
Oh, no. Eric Idle did love to do it, but thank God he's got a foul mouth when he starts talking.
Someone else who's having a birthday round about now, 19th of January 1943, Janis Joplin, the US singer.
Yeah, with a gravel voice.
She died on the 4th of the 10th, as did Graham Chapman, but in the year 1970. Now, she was only 27.
She was one of the 27 group, yes.
Now, please explain.
Well, there was quite a few people in that died at that era, young rock singers that said they all sort of passed away.
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison was one of them.
What's the actor? James Dean.
James
would
Dean
have been
was 27. Yeah.
And
in Janice's life, she lived probably 60 years in her 27, most of which were in the 1960s.
Yeah.
She was burning the candle at both ends.
Well, I think she burnt out, that's for sure.
But did she ever get enough money to buy a Mercedes Benz?
No, but I will never stop loving that song.
It's wonderful, isn't it? We did play that a few weeks ago, actually, so, yeah, we're not going to repeat that one. But she's a very good, very interesting lady.
Her album, whose title I cannot remember right now, with me and Bobby McGee and Mercedes Benz, was released after her death.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. No wonder that's why she couldn't afford a Benz.
Yeah, but see, it's the dying early that keeps them in our memories.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
It's like Buddy Holly.
As they leave something behind which is worthwhile,
will
stand the test of time.
Yeah. Imagine if Buddy Holly had lived.
Oh, God, yes.
He produced so much brilliant music in such a short time. Yeah. He may have burnt out six months later.
Same with Jim Morrison, of course. He was another great... He did a lot of wonderful stuff too, and very young when he died.
And he got in trouble with the police so much for pulling his pants down on stage.
Yeah, That's
they
right.
They didn't like that.
They didn't like it. Oh.
He was medicated a lot.
As opposed to being over-refreshed.
Oh, definitely. Tired and emotional.
But we have lost a lot of talent at a very young age.
And not only talent at a very young age, I think it's the invincibility we've even had locally in the last few weeks around Christmas time. People going to concerts here.
Yes.
There's just pushing their luck a little bit too much. And it's all very sad. And I don't know whether it's inbuilt in some people that they must try everything. But I thought it was sad that the concert was named FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yes.
A lot of people are driven to try anything once. And
The photo of the young lady that died was, she was a very pretty young woman too. It was just a shame. But at that age, you're invincible. And this is the point. You can try it and be okay.
Well, La Belle Époque is going to tell us that black is black.
All right.
I knew that.
We know that.
We like the music. We like the disco sound. Hey, black. He's back. Come.
With Chris Gordon and Phil, been there, done that, Joy 94.9. I've been searching through a few of the international news outlets for a couple of stories. Well, we've got three little stories from UK. I mean, they've got plenty of things to talk about over there at the moment. But in respect of the Manchester Pride season, instead of having the normal six colours in the rainbow flag, they're having eight.
They're following
stripes.
They're following Pennsylvania, I think it was, in America, that put the extra two colours in, brown and black, to recognise the indigenous and coloured members of the community, which was, I think, is quite lovely.
Certainly ethnicity doesn't feature in the original rainbow flag.
The point of the rainbow was to show our diversity and our joy and colour,
but
not skin colour.
But each colour of the rainbow represents something.
It does. It didn't automatically.
But everybody put it.
It's been applied to the colours. Yeah, so there is nothing appropriate about the existing six colours that would denote ethnicity.
No.
So
we come in all shapes, sizes and colours.
We do. We do.
So, fortunately.
I mean, can I just mention here that in the Christian religion, Jesus is usually portrayed in Western society as a white man.
Blonde and blue-eyed, yes.
But almost.
He was Jewish.
When in fact he was Jewish, probably had a hook nose.
He's probably
and was
short.
Very dark skin.
Short and dark hair and dark eyes.
But I wonder how they get on in the church missions in Australia, whether they've localised that figure. I wonder what happens in the church in China. I wonder what happens in some of the other places in South America, whether they localise the imagery.
Yeah, but of course the thing was that the image we get now of Jesus is taken from the great art of the 16th, 17th centuries, where they painted, Rembrandt and all these people, not Rembrandt, Da Vinci and all those people.
Michelangelo
painted them with
that. I get my imagery of Jesus from Monty Python, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right.
Up there on the cross.
Singing.
And the guy's standing behind him saying, hey, Jesus, I can see your house from up here.
And always look on the bright side.
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
That's as close to religious as I'm ever going to get.
Another little story from the UK. They have had a survey there to determine that there's lots of discrimination happening in the general population. And They are using a new expression there, BAME.
BAME, yes, that's interesting. That's an acronym for when I
Black, Asian and minority ethnic LGBT people. Yeah. Now that means that for them the minority ethnic can be any race, of course, but the Asian that they're referring to there are primarily Indians or people from the subcontinent.
That's right, yes. I think where they get their differentiation is that the black people would be the people that have come from the West Indies.
Yeah.
And then the Asians would be from India, because I don't know what the Chinese population of Britain would be, but I know there are a lot of Indians went there when the Indian rule started to change, and they all flooded over into Britain.
Well, they're discovering that they really, in fact, should be authorising diversity by having anti-discrimination training, building links and partnerships. I'm not saying that we've done it, but we have been going through the same process here in Australia. And, you know, culturally and linguistically different or diverse is how we talk about the multi-language.
That's groups. Almost trying to be politically correct, whereas these statements come from dating websites, and they're expressing their
opinion, physical attraction,
priorities, things. And I guess they have a right. Well, they're going to like who they like anyway. Mm. You can't tell people who to like. But I'm just wondering if we have to name everybody in under the rainbow. We had this problem with the LGBTIQ, WXYZ, just getting out of control. We don't want the flag to go the same way, because we want to be equal and united without naming names. Surely you don't have to go that far.
Yeah. But it's I know that there's a lot of there is discrimination against Asian gay guys and anybody with different ethnicities. Here in Australia, there's a lot of that.
Well, you've only got to live in another society where you, a white man, me as a white man, is in a minority to start to realise, there is something happening that's discriminatory, and because I'm the minority, I really have just got to suffer it.
Go to China like I did and spend time with my boyfriend and his family. The only Anglo in the place for anywhere around, and I was photographed, I was looked at, I was stared at, I was everything, but it didn't worry me. It's just one of those things that I knew would happen.
It's odd, because I spent 5 years in California as the only Australian there, and nobody noticed me at all until I opened my mouth.
Yeah.
There you are. We sort of mentioned this a little while back. In the UK, they've decided to teach in schools as part of the regular curriculum, not the physical aspects of sexual practices, but the mere fact that there is diversity in sexuality and in gender.
Would that be something like our Safe Schools project?
Probably is. But the problem that they've found in the UK is that the Jewish schools, especially the real ultra-Orthodox ones, can't cope with this concept, because they reckon that Jewish Orthodox children should not learn about any sex at school, including gay sex. We do not want sex education taught in schools. We are tolerant of different lifestyles, but we do not promote them. So they are reckoning that the only way they can get out of having this compulsory education course is to leave UK.
Leave Britain and go back to, I suppose they would have to go back to Israel then.
Well, not back to necessarily. Well, they might have to go to Poland.
Yeah, well, it depends which country would accept
wherever
them.
They came from.
I'm going to be completely politically incorrect. And imagine if Hitler was still alive. He'd say, I could have done it that way. He'd just tell everybody that he's gay and they'd move out of town.
Yeah.
But how can you be so closed-minded as a religion to deny reality?
But you've got to also remember that most of the religious right people are totally against same-sex marriage that we have here in Australia. They don't.
But there
like
are gay Jews.
Yeah, well, of course there are.
I don't get it. It's like
a chap I know has a Jewish boyfriend.
Yeah,
no problem.
No, that's for sure. In the US, the newly appointed House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, has vowed to ban anti-GLBTQ discrimination. Now,
she's a tough little cookie, isn't she?
She's a tough little cookie, but you'd imagine that already the Trump administration would have continued what was done under the Obama administration.
Oh, no.
Hello?
That's called the undo generation.
But the only thing he's worried about is getting the bloody wall built.
Oh,
he'll take offence.
Hello?
Well, he takes offence at anything.
No, Nancy Pelosi has been Speaker before and she gets things done. And she's going to repair a lot of the damage that Trump has done. Because
how can she do that, though?
Control of the House.
Like she's
got the votes.
And she's got the hands on the purse strings?
Oh, well, have a look at the problem now. Nobody's getting paid because she's standing her ground.
She's standing her ground. She won't let Mr. Trump have $5 billion to build a wall or a fence or whatever. But she's a very talented woman.
Did you see a clip that came out last week of Trump at a college graduation? And he said, if you meet a wall, go over it. Go around and do whatever it takes, but don't let that wall stop you.
Nancy Pelosi has been a supporter of the LGBTQ community throughout her career and even made an appearance on the RuPaul Drag Race All-Star 3 show last year.
See, she comes from a very, very political family. Her mother and her father were both politicians, and so she grew up being a politician. And she knew what to do to make the things happen. And she's a very straightforward lady. She doesn't mince her words either.
And she's also sort of raised her voice and said she's in favour of stronger gun background check legislation.
That's right, yeah.
And the DREAM Act, which grants legal status to undocumented immigrants who were brought to the US as children and went to school there. So
That's what one of the things that they're saying about the money to build the wall. They should be using the money to organise the dreamers' lifestyles and things, because that's more important. The children that were born of illegal immigrants have been brought up completely in America, know nothing else.
Yeah, and Trump won't recognise that.
He won't recognise them.
Talk about discrimination.
Yeah.
Can I talk about a little bit of discrimination that's in the general community here in Australia? And we thought that sight-impaired people had the solution with the work, the raise.writing scheme that Louis Braille invented 4th of January 1891. But those modern Australians who are wanting to use FPOS terminals can't actually interact with the ones in the supermarkets and places like that, because the screens on the keyboards there are not set up for their limited vision. And so the banks are actually being pointed out, this is discriminatory, and there is moves afoot now to introduce some more modern technology that can enable the sight-impaired person to actually understand what's happening. Because just imagine, you know, the trader says, oh, yeah, put in your PIN numbers here, and yeah, you've got the keypad and you can work out the numbers and put that in, but you don't know whether he's put an extra 100 in front of the value
that
you're authorising.
That's right.
Whoa. So there's going to be a speech recognition interface created.
Because Louis Braille was only 15 when he invented that system, you know.
And why did he introduce
Because he actually saw that the French army were using a dot system to give messages to their men in the troops.
Because they couldn't...
They couldn't read in the dark. And so Louis
talking
Braille,
out loud was probably a problem too.
Problem too, yeah. And then Louis Braille saw this and he decided, okay, I'll work this out. So he's done everything with just six dots in a square, in a little square. And that's the way it works. But my bank has got some things that go quite well with unsighted people.
Here's M People, Search for the Hero. You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that, Joy 94.9. Young Phil.
Hello.
You've got a little message for the listener.
I want to communicate.
Oh.
I want them to communicate. Well, we communicate to our listener.
Yes, that's right.
We'd like to hear back.
Hmm.
And you can do that verbally. You can yell at the radio if you want to. Or you could email us at beenthere@joy.org.au. And we love getting emails.
Let us know what you'd think or what you'd like to hear us to talk about.
And most of the feedback is good.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, as did Thomas earlier this week.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we have a podcast which we will be putting up. And if you like to listen to our show in podcast form, you can pull it up at any time and have it sitting there waiting for you.
Yes, and you can get that from our website or iTunes and anywhere you get a good podcast.
Excellent, excellent. We should have played our Black is Black piece of music that we heard earlier at this particular point. Why?
But that might have been cheesy, looking back.
have been very obvious.
Well, we certainly don't want Black Friday back, because back in 1939 here in Victoria, Black Friday is when so much of the bush, the forests here in Victoria went up. Lots of loss of life. In 1939, there were 71 people died in that Black Friday.
That's right.
It was always called Black Friday because the bush ended up being black and sooty and everything. And back on the 18th of January 2003, firestorms began their onslaught in Canberra and took out the telescope and the pine forests.
Lots of houses too, and lots of stuff. But it seems to be that we are subjected to these forest fires all the time. Is it because we don't manage the land like the indigenous people used to?
If we were in the US, Mr. Trump would have told us that their bushfires over there are because of bad management. They were going to scrape up all the leaves under the trees.
Mm-hmm. The indigenous people controlled the whole of the thing with controlled burn-offs in certain times of the year, and then they would be fine, you know. But we just go in there and we've just cut down everything and we've done all this. And
we are slowly learning, though, because we do have controlled burn-offs.
Yeah, this is right. Yeah, but sometimes they get out of...
Well, they get out of control, but they've got to be done at the right time of the year, and it's hard to find the balance between the fuel and the weather.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Because you don't want a hot, dry day with a nice northerly and think, oh, we'll just, you know, clear this little bit of bushland.
But you also get ding-a-lings that deliberately light them, which is another thing. You've got these idiots
Our bushfires always seem to get black put it into the name somewhere along.
Oh, we had Black Saturday too, didn't we?
But we're talking about the US. They've got Turkey Day.
They do. It's called Thanksgiving.
Oh, is that what it is?
Thanking, I hate to say it, probably the Lord for the harvest. They've expanded it to basically be thankful for what you've got.
Because when they first went to America, they nearly died from they didn't have enough food.
The good old English.
They didn't bring the right food to plant and do everything right.
Well, they assumed everything would be just like
and
England.
The native Indians people had to tell them how to survive. And then they brought their first crop in and that was the Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So their corn and their pumpkin and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But the day after Thanksgiving is known as Black Friday. Unfortunately, it bled into our commercial lives this year.
Yeah.
So the last Friday in November in Australia has become Black Friday, and nobody knows why.
Yeah,
it's marketing.
Pourquoi?
Well, Black Friday in America is the first day in the financial year, which actually starts January 1st, that the average retail business turns black ink in their margins. So between Black Friday after Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's when they make enough money to survive for the rest of the year.
But there was I saw when they had Black Friday here, it was a sort of a success, but it didn't continue on in because there was an article I read in the paper that it was very good on the day. But from that on, it just went downhill and it even kept going
through. It's a one-day event. We don't get that here. We had Black Friday sales going through to the next Thursday. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
It's special in America because that's the day.
That's the one day.
It's not Saturday. It's Friday.
Mm, mm, mm.
But it was introduced here with no context, no meaning. In my mind, no point.
Look, you say Black Friday here in Victoria and all you think of is bushfires. Absolute bushfires. That's
not
all you
30%
think of.
Off your underpants.
No, that's right.
Or if you left them in the fire, you'd have 100% off your underpants.
I didn't know what they were talking about, quite frankly, and I knew that they called it Black Friday. I didn't know the reason why, and thank you very much for informing me about it.
But it's got nothing to do with us.
No, it doesn't. But it's the same as Halloween. Has nothing to do with us, you know.
Yeah, when that's only just picked up in the last few years. Yeah, and that's, again, marketing.
Marketing, yeah.
It's like the in the old days when we had greeting cards before email.
Yeah.
They used to sit together and figure out what holidays to write cards for. We need more holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we go, I think we better make mention of a birthday. 17th of January 1943 was born Ita Buttrose.
Oh, dear Ita.
Yeah, she's an Australian publisher. She used to, in the risky days of 1970s, 80s, trot out women's magazines with titillation for women.
What, Clio?
Clio.
With that famous
centrefold.
Centrefold, where the staples did a great deal of damage. But we should really just call her Ita.
Ita. Yeah.
Because she's up there with Cher and all the people who get by with one name.
Well, you only have to see that I've never heard of anybody else being called Ita. So you say Ita and you immediately think of Buttrose.
And why do we think of her?
Because she did so much for our community when the AIDS crisis was at its height.
Yes, because she was already with her women's magazines talking to the women, the mothers of Australia. She had the gift of the gab. She was able to repackage the AIDS crisis in words that the women understood.
Yeah, yeah.
And she cut through.
She'd made such a difference.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about, you know, search for the hero. She was definitely the hero of the time.
That's right. She was wonderful. Yeah, she was.
And she's still doing marvellous work. Yep, she's 76, although we never mention a woman's age.
We seem to always mention a woman's age on this show.
But she's now doing something with Alzheimer's. I think it's the thing she's doing now is Alzheimer's disease. Yeah. She's about looking at that. And it was interesting the other day talking about those sort of dreadful diseases, the motor neurone people. They have found something that looks like being able to help people with that disease too. Good on the scientists that look into these things and do it.
Keep paying for research.
And they keep doing it and they keep bringing up the things. But unfortunately, we've got some people here that they don't believe what the scientists are telling us about the weather.
Oh, well.
You know.
Mm-hmm. There we are. Mm-hmm. Look, it's about time for us to go. So thanks very much for being with us. Yeah. We've enjoyed your company. We hope you'll come and listen and enjoy with us next week.
And don't forget the podcasts as well.
And we're coming back whether you like it or not.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Love Radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Turn us on anywhere.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.